Welcome to the Elliot Jolish Hour. Elliot is the business therapist, giving you access to the greatest business minds in the world. Elliot and his sources provide insight to help your business maintain a healthy life. It's therapy for your business, and it starts now. Here's Elliot Jolish.
This is the Elliot Jolish Hour, and I'm the business therapist, and we'll have a very interesting and exciting program for this next hour here to talk about, well, here we are, 2.5 weeks from the end of the year, and 2016 is just around the corner, and are you ready for it? I guess that's the real key. And what are you still doing right now? Are you sitting back waiting for people to call you to try to get some last-minute business, or are you out there kind of pounding the pavement, trying to rustle up some clients, talking to prospects? This is as good a time to find new clients as it is as any other time, and maybe even better times depending on the area you work in, because there are budgets that may need to be spent before the end of the year. There's always materials and supplies that are needed, particularly depending on the weather conditions in your area. We've had some really crazy weather here. You know, it's rainy, and it's right now it's 70 degrees outside. You know, this is December in Texas, and 70 degrees. Now, in Dallas, that's not necessarily unheard of, but it is a little unusual. We're probably about 15 degrees above normal, and it's a lot wetter than normal. And considering a year ago, we were in a drought. In fact, as early as, well, we had May was the month of rain. And that basically took care of our drought that we'd had for the last 3 or 4 years, I think. But anyway, so let's talk about myself a little bit. I am Elliot Jolish, the ECJ Group, and I am the business therapist. So I work with, I'm a coach. I work with people of all shapes and sizes, you might say, of whether they're an entrepreneur or a CEO-level individual, to help them get to that next level and improve their business, whatever that improvement in their mind wants to be. So my idea for a program today, what was I going to think about? And I said, well, you know, we've talked about over the last several months about goal setting and planning, and we'll still come back and I'll do some review on that as we move through the hour here. But my real thought process was to talk about, are you ready for 2016? I've got I give a short speech for groups occasionally at this time of year that basically asks that exact question. But that's where I was going to head. And then I had a conversation with with a couple of friends of mine over the last couple of days. And it got me thinking about another topic I wanted to cover. And that is, I guess I'd call it work-life balance. This particular time always seems to be extremely stressful. I know it can be for me. I know it is for other people. And this is that time that you have to make sure that you take good care of yourself. With just like in here, with the changing conditions in the weather, warm one day, cold the next day, there's the potential for getting sick because you don't bundle yourself up appropriately, or you just don't necessarily get enough rest at night. Being an entrepreneur, it's not easy. I know that. I'm there all the time. But you have to figure out which is more important. This little project I'm working on right now, which still may have to get completed someday, sooner than later, or making sure that I get a good night's rest, even if it's only 6 hours or 5 hours. And yes, I've even had 4.5 hours, and that begins to fade a little bit. You can't go as strong. Now, you've got to get sleep based on what your body takes. So that's one of those issues you have to do. And you've got to have family around you that will help, I would say, take care of you. Get the appropriate attention. Make sure you take care of yourself. Again, you know, easily 6 to 8 hours of sleep at night is ideal. Even if you work, I mean, you can still work 10-hour, 15-hour, 20-hour days and still get some sleep at night. And it's got, you know, or take a nap. You know, if you go to sleep at 1:30 in the morning and you get up at 6 a.m. or 7 a.m., which I've been known to do, I'll come back after several meetings and I'll find a time to take a 15 or 20 minute cat nap. And it does wonders. It will help pick you up and perk you up. You have to eat well. You have to exercise. I stress exercising all the time. For myself, I'll be the first one to admit, I don't do all of these enough. I try to, but I don't get, I exercise twice a week right now, and I don't, it's not enough. I should be exercising probably 4 or 5 times a week. I've got a good friend of mine who gets himself up at 4:30 every morning, is at the gym by 5, spends 2 hours at the gym till 7, goes home, and then showers and is ready for work. And he works out of his house, and he also works for somebody else. So he's basically a paid, he's just an employee. But, you know, I wish I could, in some days I have that, but I can't see myself working out for 2 hours every day. Sorry. It's just not in my nature, but I'd much rather spend time on a golf course on occasion too, and work out 30 to 45 minutes, you know, even if it was every day. Right now it's not. It's one of my kind of long-term goals for this next year, but you have to keep in mind, you have to keep it in line with your business goals is the way I look at it. And, but it's part of running your business to make sure you stay healthy and do due diligence to yourself and to your family, because if you're not around to reap the rewards, what good is that? It's also, and that's the other thing you have to look at. You have to decide, you know, is what I'm doing what I want to be doing? Is this the direction I want to go in? And am I going in that direction such that I will be successful, which we don't always know. Of course, we keep working for that. Or is this taking away from my family life? Is this causing problems with me in some ways else? I've got a couple of good friends here that are internet marketers. And in fact, they just put out I got an email from them this morning, in fact, that they had talked about, they were at their UPS store to check their mailbox and happened to run into the realtor that had sold their house, they'd bought the house through. Nice friend, good friend and nice person. And she was, well-dressed and had just come from, I guess, a showing and had already had been to one closing and had 2 more closings that day. And Bill was making the comment that he hadn't shaved in 3 days and he was still wearing kind of his outdoor PJs and some Uggs looked a little worse for wear from that standpoint. But from his business standpoint, he's got it so well lined up and he's got the processes in place that it takes him, you know, 20 minutes, an hour maybe a day to get everything done and keep things working. So now he has time for his family. Now, if that's the direction you want to go, and that's an ideal direction, you have to make sure you're in the right business to do that. Obviously, if you build homes, that's not quite going to fit your environment, your idea, unless you build an empire or a group of people around you that you trust to run your business for you. So let's go back and talk about a little bit, as we've talked about our health and we talk about time management, you might say, or time strategies more so than time management. I like to remind people that we have 86,400 seconds in a day. We can't bank it. We can't put it away for a rainy day, as they say. We can't store some of that time for tomorrow. We have to use it right now. And once it's and we can't go back and get it. We can't correct it. It's over and done with. So one of the big issues I always tell people is that you make sure that as you move forward, that you keep moving forward. Quit looking back. You look back to see what you did right or wrong. And you take that information, that knowledge, and you keep moving forward. That is the whole key in business to do. If you can do that, it will help you become more successful. So what other things from a time strategy standpoint can you do? Whether you do it in the morning, whether you do it at night, whether you do it on a Sunday night, plan your day, maybe even your week out. If you have appointments and you have open spots, figure out, what am I going to do during those open spots? Are there people I can call on? Are there clients I should follow up with? This is a perfect time, with the holidays the way it is, for you to go back through your client list and reach out to all your clients that you haven't talked to in the last 6 months or year or 2 years. Once a client, always a client should be your motto. And unless if your clients are local and have to be local, then unless they've moved away, they should always be on your client list. And I would even probably reach out to clients that have moved away and say, just checking in, want to tell you how we're doing, hope you're doing well, or something like that. If you know somebody who's moving to our area, we certainly would appreciate a referral. And maybe you pay for referrals and you can say, by the way, you know, you send us a referral, we close a deal with them, you'll get a nice gift card in the mail or something, or a fruit basket or something, whatever you want to do. You know, reward people that appreciate your services and pass the information on to other people, and it usually is very beneficial to you. This might be a good time to go through and review all of the meetings, the network. If you're a small entrepreneur and you go to network meetings to get the word out, this might be a great time to go through and look at those network meetings that you go to and figure out, is this meeting working for me? Is it one that I want to continue next year? Now, I wouldn't just cut it off. If it is working, then that's great. Mark it up that it's working and you're going to keep moving forward. If it's not working, I'd give it one more month. Go in and say, hey, guys, I love all y'all, or I appreciate everything y'all do here, but this is not working for me for the type of business I'm looking for. I'm moving on, but I wanted to say goodbye. And that way you're not burning any bridges, you're not disappearing, and you still may get some business out of it. And then if you haven't been to a network meeting long enough, if you've not been involved, I usually tell my own experiences, it takes 6 to 8 meetings sometimes if they're weekly meetings. And I'm not talking about necessarily groups where you have to pay large sums of money for. I'm talking about the regular meetings that may have no cost to them, or maybe charge a dollar or two at the door. Those are the ones I'm concerned with. The B&I type groups where you pay a fee to join and stuff, you have to decide what to do about that. We'll talk more about that after we come back. You're listening to the Elliot Jalisch Hour. I am Elliot Jalisch, the business therapist, and you're listening on Ohm Radio. We'll be right back after these messages.
This is OTR-FM, part of the iOM Radio Network.
Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at OM Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. OM Times Advisors. Connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth Radio is conscious living for your soul, every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Circle of Hearts Radio is a sanctuary on the airwaves. Join me, Grandmother Elia, in the circle on Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern, as I share information to both enlighten and nourish your soul.
Host your show on iOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on iOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
This is OTR FM, part of the iOM Radio Network.
Welcome back. This is Elliot Jalisch on the Elliot Jalisch Hour. I am the business therapist, and you're listening on OTR-FM. As we went to the break, we were talking a little bit about networking events, networking groups, what works, what doesn't work. I just want to make it clear, this is what has worked for me, and you have to figure out what works for you in your own way. You have to sit down and evaluate and decide, part of it depends on whether you're a B2B, business-to-business type person, or a B2C, business-to-consumer, and whether you're with what you're marketing, with what you're trying to sell. in my situation, we talked briefly just before we went to break about BNIs. And for me, because of my previous schedules, BNIs didn't necessarily work for me because I couldn't commit to always being at a meeting every week. It was just, it just didn't work. Part of it was my schedule. Part of it was client meetings. Part of it was the cost. And part of it was in my own groups, the groups that I had come in contact with, most of them were more B to C than B to B. And I am definitely most, all my clients are B2B. All my clients are business. If I end up talking to a consumer, it's only from a business relationship, and they're technically not a consumer. They either have a desire to become an entrepreneur and they're seeking information, or they've got a home market, an MLM company or something, and they're trying to figure out if I can help them with it. And I know other coaches that have used BNI. It works very well. But it's a personal approach you have to do. You have to go in. You have to see if you fit in the group. You have to talk to the group members, whether it be BNI or any networking group. I generally speak from a networking standpoint. When I work with groups, when I go into groups and investigate, these are non-BNI groups, usually it's 6 to 8 meetings before I can make up my mind. And even then, sometimes it takes longer. Some groups, that's okay. They'll let me stay as a guest and meet and start building the requirements because they all have requirements. Others don't, and that's okay too. If I decide after a couple of meetings that it's not quite right for me, I part ways, and I always leave the door open so that there's an option that they want me to come back in. I go into, in my case, I don't look for exclusivity. This is just my own personal policy. As a coach, there's so many coaches, and I know a lot of other coaches. We all have our own styles. We have our own techniques. And what may fit one business will not necessarily fit another business. So it's in my thought process, it's okay to have more than one coach at a network meeting. Sometimes it's beneficial because we'll use each other. And I'm good friends with 2 or 3 different coaches, and we help each other out whenever we can. So it's an issue that whatever your specialty is, whatever your business is, it's something that you just have to take on your own thought process. But what's important, and this is an issue that I've run into all the time when I go to these network meetings, is and I haven't figured out how to resolve these issues yet. And I'm as bad as anybody else, though I'm a little better because A, I recognize the issue and I'm working on fixing it. And that's the dreaded elevator speech. You've got 30 seconds in most cases to stand up, tell them who you are, what you do, what you're looking for, and why would they want to contact you. 30 seconds. It's not a lot of time. In fact, it's a very short period of time. And yet I see people get up all the time and start kind of doing an anecdotal story, not the time for it. And the time for an anecdotal story is when you get back to the next step, which we'll go into in a minute, which is the one-on-one. So what do you do in a 30-second? The 30-second is you say who you are. Hi, I'm Elliot Jellish. I'm an executive business coach. Okay, great. And here's how I can help a client. You know, I work with clients to get them to the next level, whether it be in leadership or in sales or in customer support. Okay, and then the next step is, and maybe you, if there's time in that, you say, here's what I'm looking for this week. I'd like introductions to attorneys that deal with small businesses, I'm looking for introductions to bankers that deal with small businesses on their business banking. And you can reach me at theecjgroup.com. That's my website. Or reach out to me right after this meeting, and I'll be happy to give you a business card. So, you know, and you make that, and you tighten it up. It's got to sound, it's got to flow. And I tell people, you got to write it out. Absolutely got to write it out. And you got to read it. So not up in front of people. You got to read it over and over and over and over so that you know it, so that it's, that you basically, you got to memorize it. Because then you'll come off sounding authentic and real, and that you're serious about what you're doing. And I'm as bad as it because I change mine constantly at times because I'm working on different things and I don't always practice it enough. And it's, in fact, it's, I've just started doing some internet marketing. I took a took a class here a couple of weeks ago, a long weekend with two very, very successful internet marketers here in town, and had hands-on coverage. There was about 15 of us in the class. It was a phenomenal class. And it's one of the things they talked about is, the importance of what's happening with video right now. And, you know, everybody's afraid of doing video, but there's no reason to be afraid of it. Just get up there and do it. And of course, the question is, well, you got to make the video perfect. Why do you have to make the video perfect? Because if the video is perfect, somebody's going to watch it and say, oh, wow, that was a perfect video. I can't do that. No, so the key here is get up and do it. Just do it. You know, we have a commercial that says, just do it. Well, that's the case in business too. Figure out what you're going to do, lay the plan out, and do it. Just do it. Don't procrastinate over it. Don't make it perfect. You don't want to make it perfect necessarily. It's one of those situations that I run into a lot of time. Well, I've got a potential client right now. We haven't started working together. We're still kind of talking about it. And he's a phenomenal gentleman. He's got the starts of a great business. And most of his business has come from referrals, which is terrific. And but he hasn't figured out where he wants to go and how, if he wants to get bigger, and he wants to kind of cut back on certain things that he's been doing because he's not thrilled with them, but pick up more things to do in certain areas. And in his case, it's all physical content. He's a remodeler. So that's one of those issues that we'll sit down. My goal is to sit down with him and help him build some goals. In fact, that will lead me into what we were going to talk about earlier about, are you ready for 2016? So what do I mean, are you ready for 2016? I look at 2016 and I tell people this every year. This is a time to sit back and reflect, I guess, in a little bit. Part of it is reflect. Part of it is, what am I doing and where am I going? So what do I mean by that? I mean taking a look over your business for the last year, figuring out what my strategy is, looking at my structure, my process, my people, if I have people, and if I don't have people, the people I work with, my vendors, people I rely on for getting materials. You know, you don't do all your own printing, right? If you have flyers and stuff, you get somebody to print, okay? That's your people. You have an attorney, you have a lawyer, you have an accountant, and if you don't, you probably need one. Both an accountant and an attorney. You need an attorney to help you make sure that you've got your business structure to protect yourself. You need an accountant to make sure, or a CPA, let me be specific, to make sure that you get things done correctly. I have some accounting background. I am not a CPA. I never claimed to be. But I am, for one client, doing his QuickBooks. At his request, he knows, my shortcomings per se. He knows I'm not a CPA. He still retains a CPA that goes over the books at the end of the year. Partly he uses me because I'm less expensive than the CPA, of course. And so I'm doing fine and for the most part. Every now and then we run into some struggles that we have to kind of dig deep in. I've got to figure out how to fix it, how to correct the errors if they're an error, or how to record it into the record keeping information. I had an acquaintance of mine that I met a couple of years ago, reach out to me and want some help in an area of accounting that I knew a little bit about, but not a lot, in the state of Texas. And I don't know where it is. It was a franchise tax deal and he hadn't filed one, and he'd been called by the state of Texas that he hadn't filed it and needed to. So he had some issues that had to be resolved. So I reached out, I did a quick look. I said, yeah, I can do it, because I have done franchise taxes before for myself and for my other client. And I sent back a message saying, here's what I can do for you. Here's what it will cost you. Here's how many hours you get out of it. But here's what I need first, because I needed some information from him. He didn't provide. He wrote back. He says, I don't have that information yet. It needs to be done also. Can you do it? And I thought about it a minute and I said, hey, can I do it? Maybe, if I really want to get into it. It would take a while. It would take a long time. It wouldn't pay me enough in my thought process because of the amount of time I would have to put into it. what can I do? So I have a good friend that is an accountant, and I called him up and I said, hey, could you do this? Are you looking for some clients? Which he was. And so I made a referral. So now whether he goes with him or not, I don't know. Not my problem. I passed the information along to him, and I'm assuming that they're working things out to get his problems resolved. If not with him, then he'll find somebody else is what I'm expecting. But I looked and see, can I help him? And if I can't help him, what can I do to make his life better? Which was find him somebody that could help him. So that part of that is just the way I do business. I'm going to be the first to tell you that if I can't do it, I'll try to find somebody that can and at least make you a recommendation so you don't have to keep looking. Now, you're under no obligation to take my recommendations, and I'm okay with that. So let's get back and continue on the journey of, are you ready for 2016? And one of the things I talked about is strategy. What is strategy? Strategies are the actions necessary and sufficient to provide a competitive advantage in the market. Basically, in a manner of speaking, it's kind of why everybody would come to you. It's to figure out your strategy. You have to know what your unique selling proposition is. Why, you know, I make the best widgets in the world, but if I can't get clients to come buy them from me, what good is that? So why are they the best widgets in the world? And then create a plan around that to get that word out. From a business standpoint, that goes back. When you start planning your strategy and your unique selling propositions, you have to have your vision, your mission. And that means core values, how you compete with other people. And of course, I'm a big believer in collaboration, not necessarily competition. And then there's always going to be an action plan and timeline to implement all this. You're listening to the Elliot Jolish Hour. We'll be right back after these words from our station. You're listening to me on OTR FM. We'll be right back. Thank you.
You're listening to OTR FM, part of the iOM Radio Network.
Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake. Join Elliot Jolish, the business therapist, each Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern for the Elliot Jolish Hour, as he interviews business experts on your behalf. And you're invited to email your business questions to questions@ecjgroup.com for answers, live, on air, every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on the Elliot Jolish Hour.
Want to be a better communicator? Do you want to better connect with the important people in your life? Do you want to enrich your relationships? If so, join me, Matthew Cooper, on the Positive Control System show every Wednesday evening at 11 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time on OM Times Radio. I'll meet you there.
Being a radio host on iOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
You're listening to OTR FM, part of the iOM Radio Network.
Welcome back. This is Elliot Jolish. You're listening to the Elliot Jolish Hour, and I am the business therapist, and you're listening on OTR FM. So we were talking as we went to the break about strategy, about what the strategy entails, about your unique selling proposition. And again, when you start putting these pieces all together, you've got your vision, your mission, your core values, how you work with your competition, how you can collaborate with your competition. It all gets revolved around putting an action plan together and a timeline to implement. And one of the things I always talk to people about is an exit strategy. And I always get that question, what do you mean an exit strategy? And no matter when you start business, you should always have a plan of when you're going to get out of business. What is your end goal for this business? You know, I had lunch with a friend who's looking to buy a business right now. And he basically reached out and told me what he was looking for. And he says, I'm looking to get involved with a business over the next few months and probably run it and improve upon it for the next 5 to 6 years and then sell it. That was his goal. That's his exit strategy. And as we got talking more, part of it was because of his kids. He's divorced, but he has custody of his kids. And they're in their teens right now. And 6 years from now, they'll be adults and all away at school. And he'll be basically an empty nester and able to do whatever he wants to. And so he wants to sell the business and go out and do whatever he's done. Now, this is not the first time he's bought and sold businesses. So, you know, he had very precise idea what he wants to do. He knows what he has to accomplish to get it done. And that's a goal right there. That's something that he's already got laid out. And now, right now, he's still looking for a business. I've introduced him to a couple of people, and I've got a couple more people I want to reach out to him. But around the holidays, sometimes they're hard to get a hold of. But I'll give him some more information and see if it works for him. But we don't necessarily work together than that. He's reached out to me a couple of times to talk about things, and I'm there to help if he ever has any questions for me. So moving back to strategy again, I says, remember, it's important to have that you get your vision and mission. And this is, if you've been in business for several years, this is a great time to go back and review that. Is my vision and mission still where I want it to be? And are we still running the company in that way? Is our vision still directed at what we're trying to do? Has this past year, have we succeeded in our meeting the concept of our vision and our mission? And it's time for a course correction or a change if so be. And the next step after strategy is the structure of the company. The structure is the manner in which resources and people are allocated and configured to operate the organization. If you're a sole entrepreneur, you are the structure. Now you've got some other issues to consider. Now, what happens to this business if something happens to me? If I'm incapacitated and cannot work in the business, will this business survive? And if it will survive, what do I have to do to make sure that it survives in the best way possible? If it won't survive, what do I have to do to take care of either myself or my family such that I'm not, that I still have resources at my, to use on myself? So that takes time. That takes a big process to go through. You need to kind of look at that and figure out, okay, you know, what are my resources? What people do I work with? If I have my own staff, if you have employees, do I need all my employees? Do I need more employees? Are all my employees providing the services that I expect them to? Are there issues there that need to be addressed? Are there people there that are going above and beyond that I need to recognize? This is a perfect time to do that. The other part of structure would be, how are decisions made? Now, again, sole entrepreneur, that's easy. You make the decision. Yeah, we're going to do it this way. But maybe it's time to get a coach. Maybe it's time to be able to bounce some ideas off people and say, oh, okay, I get that. Maybe I need some help. I talked with a potential client the other day that is starting in a new business and knows she wants a coach to get started with. And she's taking it. And now, am I going to be her coach? I don't know yet. We had a very nice conversation. I laid out exactly what I thought, where we would go and how we would work together. And she's got two or three other people, other coaches, one of which I know that she wants to interview for also. And then she'll make a decision who she wants to work with. And that's okay by me. I don't get everybody. I'd like to, but I couldn't. Well, actually, I wouldn't like to, because then I wouldn't have enough time. And I'm very careful. I'm careful about my time, maybe not as careful as I should be. And yes, I waste too much time, just like everybody else tends to do. When you are looking at your structure and you're looking at how decisions are made, does it enable your strategy? Does it fit into your vision and mission? And again, now we're talking for a company that's got employees. What resources go where and why? So always looking at the structure. One of the biggest things that I see is that people are afraid of change. And the next thing that, and what brings that up is when you look at processes, we all know that processes should be improved and should change just because of technology. The way things were, I mean, how many have cell phones now versus how many had cell phones, 20 years ago, you know, almost nobody. And, you know, 30 years ago, certainly there were no cell phones. The question always comes up, and there's a video on YouTube I watch every now and then just to kind of reflect on, called Did You Know? And if you haven't seen it, I would highly recommend going out and find the original one if you can, and then work your way up to the latest one. But one of the things in Did You Know that they ask is, what did we all do about all these things, information that we want to know before Google? That's a good question. You know, because right now, if I need a phone number of somebody or if I need to look somebody up, I usually can go on my phone and I go into Google and I type in a few keywords or their name potentially. And lo and behold, I'll have their name, their phone number, their address, and everything else I need. But prior to cell phones, what did I have? I had to go back and I had to figure out, how do I get a hold of this person? Anybody remember the white pages or the yellow pages for advertising purposes? So it's very important that you go through, and first of all, you have to identify your processes. If you haven't identified your processes, and this is a problem I've seen a lot with small companies. If you haven't identified your processes, now what do I mean by processes? Well, let's take orders. You take orders, you sell widgets, you take orders online, and you take them over the phone. Somebody calls up, says, I want to order 1,000 widgets. Okay. So what are the steps to do that? Somebody has to answer the phone. Your potential customer says, I want to order some widgets. Okay. So now, once you have that, now the word is go. What's the first step in, you know, okay, well, we do it. We pull a piece of paper out and we write the order down, or I grab a slip of paper and I write the order down. Well, what happens? And that piece of paper might get lost, and all of a sudden that order doesn't get placed. So it's time to make sure that you look at your processes, which is the manner in which things get done within the organization or your company. And you have to decide if the processes are working or do they need to be improved, and can you measure them? How many orders come back because of errors? How many orders are not filed correctly? And then where's the problem? Now, the other issue is, just because an order has been messed up doesn't mean you assume the end. It's salvageable potentially. The other problem is, what caused it to mess up? Did I get the wrong information from my client? Did it not get processed correctly once I passed it on to the next person in line? Is it something that needs to be automated that we haven't been able to automate in the past, and why can't we automate it? Can it not be automated because of things we want to do that are because we've been doing them for X number of years? Or is it things that didn't work in the software that we have? Or is it things that we forgot about and should have been added into the system? The perfect example I've got in my own life, from an employee standpoint, this is before I was a business coach. I spent 35 years in IT. I walked into a business environment about 13 years ago. And I wasn't involved directly. I mean, indirectly, they had already made the decision long before I got there to purchase a package software. But the package software didn't fit the processes the way they did them. So instead of changing their processes to fit the package, they changed the package to fit their processes. Now, their processes were great 20 years earlier than that, because that's the way their processes have been built out. And they, you know, the software they had used was probably 20 years old. And back then, they worked the way they could. By not changing their processes, not improving them and streamlining them for the software that they were buying, it created an issue for them that they couldn't do upgrades. That it was much more, I rephrase that, It wasn't they couldn't do upgrades. It was much more complicated. As opposed to being able, because most companies, most large software companies, when they give you an upgrade, you lay it over their existing work and everything you've done, provided it fits into their framework, works. You know, they'll we've tweaked this. This will work slightly different. You may have to make some changes here. This company I was working for that I'd gone into work for had changed, 600,000 lines of code, something like that. It was a ridiculous number because they had changed the way the software worked so that it would work the way their processes worked. It was backwards. So that created, meant that they had to go back and redo the same, that code again for the new software changes that were coming up. And it took them, let's see, I left that company in 2009 and they were just beginning to update a mandatory update because they were going to get left behind to a version that was still not the current version. So those are issues that you have to consider. Another thing I would certainly consider, you know, if you're a larger company or if you have employees, is how green are you? Now, green can be environmental. Green means sustainability within your company. How do you grow your employees? How do you bring new employees and get them ready to move up the ladder? So there's all sorts of things that mean green. Along with that, of course, part of that, when you start identifying your people, is recognition and reward. I find that very important. That enables the enablers that created the climate in which people motivate themselves to achieve goals. That is huge. The more you recognize your staff and your employees, in most cases, the better work you get out of them. And they're proud. They're proud of being part of your company. There's a contest down here or a report that we'll get back to right after we come back from the break. You're listening to the Elliot Jolish Hour. I am Elliot Jolish. I am the business therapist, and you're listening on OTR-FM. We'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned, please.
You're listening to OTR-FM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
As difficult as it is to believe, there are places in Africa where human traffickers sell albino children and their body parts for use in magic rituals. Humanity Healing International is actively working in Uganda to change this paradigm. The Albino Rescue Project finds albino children who are at risk and places them in safe schools and environments where they can learn and grow free from fear. To learn more or to sponsor a child, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgemeer, host of the Inspired Parenting Radio Show, where every week we bring you empowering information from the diverse fields of conscious parenting, education, neuroscience, consciousness, health, and metaphysics to support you in nurturing the best in your children. So if you're interested in understanding what shapes your children's minds, spirits, and hearts, join me every Thursday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, and prepare to be inspired.
Hi, this is Sylvia Henderson, intuitive life coach and energy healer. Are you ready to elevate and rise way above your normal? Be sure to listen to my show, Intuitive Transformations, on OM Times Radio, Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern. Get the inspiration you need to transform your life.
Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
This is OTR-FM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
This is Elliot Jolish. You're listening to the Elliot Jolish Hour. I am the business therapist, and you're listening on OTR-FM. Again, let me continue where we left off here. We were kind of talking about, are you ready for 2016? And we'd gotten up to talking about recognition and reward. And it's an important area that I find that you have to reward, you have to recognize the people that help your business, whether it be your employees, whether it be outside vendors that do a great job for you. And that reward can be anywhere. Sometimes just recognition, just a pat on the back and said, hey, that was a great job you did, or a small gift, a fruit basket or something, particularly during the holiday time. But it's not just now. I mean, it's fear. If somebody goes above and beyond, I find it important to recognize them right then and there, so they recognize that you know what's going on. Now, if you're a sole entrepreneur and you work, as I like to tell people, which I am right now, I've got three employees, me, myself, and I. Okay, that's fine. It's kind of funny. But, so what do I do? First of all, I take care of myself, but I go out and I pay attention to people that help me. Those that forward referrals to me, or people that I've used as a vendor, my printers and stuff that get a job done in a timely fashion, I thank them very much for it. Not just by paying them, but give them a compliment. I go out to my website sometimes, or go out to Facebook and give them a testimonial, something that will make them feel, that recognize, hey, that, go to this print shop. They just did a great job for me. I'm very pleased with it, and I will be using them again. So it's very important. People like to have that recognition reward, and it also keeps your people understanding that you appreciate what you're doing, what they're doing for you. You always want to make sure that it's tied to the results you wanted. With that, you'll get the behaviors you reward. And then, of course, it means that you get to find out more about what your people want. Talk to your people. This is a perfect time to do it. Your people are the creative resource that operate your processes to deliver a product or service to your customers when your customers want it, not when you want it. This is the important thing. And it's important to make sure you take care of your people. Make sure your people have the appropriate skill set to do the job and the appropriate authority. I can't remember where I was the other day. Where was it? But it was, I overheard somebody else saying that, I think it was a message or something, but at these were first line people I was talking to. Okay. The very first people you talk to, yet they had the authority to make decisions. This company was saying, we're going to kind of cut through the rep tape. You don't have to get a manager for this. Now I'm sure they're going to have to justify it. I know Nordstrom's is one of those places. You go in there, and anybody in there can make a basically command decision regarding something that you take back that you bought it at Nordstrom's. And it's, they made that decision that their client base, their customers, are the most important people there. And so the people that are on the floor are the ones that interact with them the most. The other key I always remind people is you have to listen. I've heard this before. We have two ears and one mouth, and there's a reason for that. And it amazes me a lot of times that, and I catch myself doing it occasionally too, you go in, you meet somebody, you sit down with them, you start talking to them, and you hear something they say. And it triggers something that, I got to tell them about this. So you stop listening, and you start thinking about, how am I going to answer this? And it's, first of all, very inappropriate, because you can't follow the conversation. But it's obvious sometimes too, and sometimes it's not. People don't, because it works on both sides. Take the attention, take the time to make sure that you listen to your employees, to your clients, to your vendors, to whomever are providing input for what you need. If you ask a specific question regarding a product, regarding a process, regarding whatever, don't just blow over it. Take the time to listen to the responses. Now, once you've heard the response, and it's okay for dead space. People are very uncomfortable sometimes with dead space. They get very upset. They get confused. They says, why isn't he talking? I'm not talking maybe because I'm thinking of what you, I'm listening to what you said to me, and now I'm forming my answer because I did listen to what you said to me. It's a very challenging time to do that. Now, in a cocktail party, Christmas party, it may be a little more complicated. There's a lot of noise. There's always other outside kind of interactions that are going on, as well as maybe too much alcohol, but that's another story. So I, you know, Christmas parties may be a little bit different, you know, by all means, and by all means, keep the hat, keep the funny hats that you're wearing when you're inebriated or your boss is inebriated off of Facebook. There was an interesting article in Harvard Business Review in the magazine. Actually, it was on their website regarding just that, a Facebook issue with an employee that had been a little upset on the way this particular, this was a car dealership, how the way they had kind of introduced a new product line. It was, he thought, a little cheap, and they were not a cheap car dealership. They were a Mercedes-Benz dealership. And it had created some attention from some other powers that be that are in the, I guess, zone office or something. And so they were trying to figure out, how do they handle this with this employee? How do they fire this employee? He was their best salesperson. That's a challenge. And the way you have to do that is, first of all, and they went back and kind of explained some things. Then the end result of the article was, what would you do? And they were looking for some feedback. Whether it's a real life situation or not, I don't know. But I'm sure in some cases, this is a real life situation, just not to the same degree. It's happened over and over again that people, and I know people, have posted stuff on Facebook, not thinking about it, and either have lost their own job or caused somebody else to lose a job. And you've got to be very careful of what Facebook is. A great product for social interaction, but it also can be very precarious. And I remind people to be cautious of that. It's very important. So in moving on in talking about, are you ready for 2016? One of the topics we always like to discuss is leadership. And leadership, of course, if you have employees and you're the boss, the leader, okay, so you own the processes. It's your responsibility to make sure they work. And it's your responsibility to make sure that your staff is educated. And not only that, but you have to listen to them. You have to be able to listen to them to find out what they're complaining about, what's working, what's not working, and is it something that can be fixed, or are their complaints justifiable, or if not, why are they complaining? And that's an issue you just have to sit down and look at. So, and then of course, let's look at the most important piece. We're running a little bit out of time, and I'm trying to make sure we get through this discussion here. So the most important piece is what? My customers, and of course, customer value. Customer value is the level of importance as a customer places on a product or service feature you deliver to them, which would be kind of your unique selling proposition. What makes the customer want to buy something from you? So, and the real question is, do you measure customer loyalty, and how do you know? Do you have customers that you've been dealing with over the last year? Have you reached out and thanked them, either with a small token of your appreciation, a special, or just a card? Hey, we appreciate your business. Maybe a handwritten card as opposed to just a regular Christmas card that got rubber stamped. You know, take your best 10%, 15%, 20%. Take all your clients out and said, hey, you know, quick note, want to appreciate your business. Hope to see you, you know, we'll be here in 2016, and we'll make 2016 an even better year for you. How can we help? So there's lots of opportunities for you, particularly now, to reach out to your customer base, to communicate with them and make sure that they're on track and that you're delivering the services they expect from you. Find out if there's problems. Figure out where those problems are and what may need to be done to fix them. So it's all, and then of course, the real key in all of this is you've got to measure these results. Everything has to be measurable. As we talked about in past weeks in our goal sessions, and we'll talk about it more in the future sessions, This is a perfect time to look at your goals. Again, they have to be SMART goals, which means they're specific and they're measurable. They're achievable. They're results oriented, and they're trackable. They're measurable. So it's very important that you figure out what that is, so in 2 weeks when we're hitting the first of the year, 2 weeks, 3 weeks from yesterday will be the first of the year, and you hit the ground running, so that you know that for 2016, this is going to be my best year ever, because I've got everything lined up, and I know what I have to do on day one, and move forward from there. It's all part of being. It's all part of the question: are you ready for 2016? It's an interesting take. There's still a lot of things that we could talk about. There is a report card that I suggest that you go through and that you kind of break out the strategy, the structure, the process, the people, the recognition, the results, the customer loyalty, and the leadership. That's your diagnostic report card. And give yourself an A, B, C, D, or an F. Take a look at that and see where you fit. And now you know where you might need to make improvements for the coming year. It's hard to believe how fast this hour has gone. This has been, I think, a great hour for me. I hope you all have enjoyed listening. You're listening to Elliot Jolish. This has been the Elliot Jolish Hour. I am the business therapist. We'll see you all next week. Have a great week. Get ready for Christmas, of course, or whatever holiday you might be celebrating at this time of year. I'll see you all next week, and you're listening to the Elliot Jolish Hour on OTR-FM. Take care. Bye-bye.
You're listening to